Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
Welcome back to another episode of the Mac Rumors Show. Hartley, good afternoon. How are you feeling? How you doing?
I'm good. I am looking forward to WWDC, which is not that far away now, less than a month.
I know. It'll be here very, very soon. If I sound a little bit weird and if I cough a little bit, I'll try my best to not do it on mic, but you know, dealing with a little chest cold. But that's not going to stop us from talking about the latest stuff. And it's funny that you brought up WWDC because it seems as though Google has kind of held its own little micro. You know, they do I/O. That's next week, I believe, or usually towards the end of May. But they've been doing the last couple of years this little Android show, which is like a pre-recorded video that they put out on YouTube, and it kind of runs through all of the new stuff that pertains to Android. And there's a lot of stuff here that kind of has to do with Apple and like how Apple's going to respond. It's also, you know, interesting because of WWDC, we should in theory be seeing this new version of Siri and the integration that Apple is doing with Google and Gemini. Well, a lot of these new features that Google introduced have to do with Gemini. So like what would at some point make its way over to Apple, if anything? You know, Apple is kind of doing its own thing, but using Gemini as kind of the backbone of what they need. So I don't know that we're going to see any of this stuff. I probably not, but it is a lot of really cool and interesting features. So we saw new AI, new hardware and software announcements. We'll talk about the hardware in a minute, but let's start with Gemini Intelligence, which is of course the new name for, I mean, who would have thought?
I don't know that it really needed to be intelligence.
It did
but
not.
It
really didn't. I mean, is it just because Apple has Apple Intelligence that we just now are going to start doing that? Like, we get it, okay? AI is
smart. Also just a little bit confusing if we're talking about the difference between Gemini and Gemini Intelligence. But I guess what Google's trying to do here is they're trying to present the sort of array of features that are powered by Gemini as Gemini Intelligence, and Gemini itself is the chat bot.
The chat. Yeah. Just don't do that. Just don't. Just why are we doing this? Everyone.
It would have been better off calling it Google Intelligence, but
yeah.
I mean, maybe that would have been too far. Logically, it makes more sense though.
Whatever. Anyways, some of the stuff is better than what the name is, so that's good. So it's new umbrella term for the best AI, you know, on its features for Android. So not just phones, but watches, car, you know, Google does a lot with Android, and it's kind of spread out throughout its own ecosystem. A lot of it is automation of the tasks, summarizing web content, but like some of the things that I saw that I really enjoyed was the creating its own widget, which was super cool to see and like something I definitely want Apple to figure out a way to do in the future here. We've seen teases of cross app actions where you can kind of have like AI book things for you. I don't know how I feel about that. Would you use that? Would you give Google the ability to just go ahead and buy you floor seats to a concert? Because that was the thing that they used in the video. And it's like, yeah, no, I want to be able to pick
personally
that.
I would not. But there would be situations, I think, where say if you were booking a ride or you were in a hurry and you just needed to get something done at short notice, that you would take a chance and hope that that would be the case. But I mean, there's no way that I'm going to ever come to book a vacation and do that whole thing hands off with an agentic AI.
I think I'd be fine with it doing all of the work, but then having me review and make changes to where I need it. Like, don't just automatically charge my credit card. I don't want that. I mean, you to do all the work.
It is still very impressive, and I can see why it might be useful. I mean, they also showed off integration with DoorDash, and that could be very useful. You just want to have some lunch. You're deep in your work. You don't have time to be thinking about what you want to eat. That is a good situation where it actually may be quite useful to just hand that off to AI that may have some contextual knowledge about what you like to eat as well.
Yeah, that's fine. I mean, I still am like, I feel like I'm too type, was it type A? That's the controlling type where like I want to be able to like make sure you're getting it right. I mean, it's, I don't know that I would let AI just go ahead and find me two seats, even if I give it all of the necessary, you know, requests and actions like, hey, just get two seats, aisle seats, blah, blah, blah. Like I still want to see it just to make sure you're doing the right thing. But yeah, I mean, there are, I feel like Google has showcased this like 2 years ago. Why are we just now getting this?
I mean, a lot of this is the kind of stuff that we have seen before or had a flavor of before. I mean, even going back to what Apple unveiled nearly 2 years ago now, the difference is that Apple did not actually deliver it. And it just seems like there's more and more here. I think it's incredibly impressive. There's so many things we could pull out here. I mean, there were even little tools like Google announced this this feature called Rambler, which is effectively voice notes, but they're AI enhanced. So it removes all of the uhs and ums and pauses. Yeah.
You can ramble.
To have a far more polished voice note, which I think I would do. I do actually increasingly take quite a lot of voice notes for extended note taking, things that I'm trying to recall. And I would find that definitely quite useful.
You know where that would be useful, which is great because a lot of this is cross-platform. I don't know about Rambler specifically, but I'm guessing it would probably work in the car. And so that would be a huge thing, is that if you could just start rambling in the car about some things that you wanted to do, and then you get to your desk and there's your notes just nice and polished up for you, I think that would be invaluable to a lot of people. I've been using, this is kind of embarrassing, but I've been using Grok more. Because now that I have the Tesla Model Y, Grok is in the car. And I thought to myself, this can't be good, but it actually isn't bad. Although, like, the idea behind it is good, but it still needs some work at, like, with execution. I've asked it to remind me to do things when I get to a location. It says, sure, and it'll do that. And it hasn't done that. No. Like, I get to the location, I'm like, okay, where's my reminder? And it doesn't do it. But like the ideas behind it is really good. And like being able to have a voice assistant that is that powerful, like an AI assistant in the car, I actually do find it to be pretty cool. And so the more polished it gets and the better it gets, you know, I don't think Grok is one of my top services that I would pick, but it's just kind of what I'm stuck with in the car. But yeah, I think that's really good. And I'm going from an Android vehicle to now non, and so I would have had some good stuff in there that's going to be rolling out to Android Auto or Android in car or whatever. I mean, I know they change it and there's so many different platforms within the platform.
You can use a multitude of popular AI apps like ChatGPT and Grok in Apple CarPlay. So that's nearly just as good. The difference is it won't have actual vehicle controls, which I think is something that you do need, and I imagine eventually, say with CarPlay Ultra, we probably will get that integrated with a next generation version of Siri. But Google showed off a lot here specifically for the car as well. I mean, we've seen Magic Cue before, but showing this off specifically for the car, where it will read messages and understand context to provide you with more sophisticated auto replies, is definitely incredibly useful in the car when you really do want that.
Yeah, I mean, you'll still get the DoorDash stuff that we talked about, and, you know, being able to order on your way home is super useful. The interesting thing to like having Dolby Atmos audio and Android Auto is good, but like, well, I don't understand how that has anything to do with, like, is that like AI enhanced or is that just, oh, here's some extra features? That was the one thing that I didn't. There was like a lot of extra stuff. I thought this was all related to Gemini, so I kind of skipped through it.
Sometimes it was a little bit hard to tell what was directly considered Gemini intelligence and what was considered just a new Android feature.
Which is a new feature.
So, I mean, we've experienced that with Apple before where they'll say that you don't have Apple intelligence on the Apple Watch, but then you can get summarized notifications on the Apple Watch that is an Apple intelligence feature on every other platform. So I think this is just...
I'm going to guess that
this is
the
problem with AI buzzwords that what is and what isn't powered by AI, I don't really care anymore.
Let's talk about Create My Widget because this is really cool. And I think that a lot of people would like this. So Create My Widget is something that you can get on Android phones. It'll be on the Samsung Galaxy. They partnered really heavily with Samsung, basically like letting them be the first ones to launch some of these features, which is cool. But also it would be on Pixel phones as well. But you can basically just have the ability to use natural language and describe what you want. So suggest 3 high protein meal prep recipes every week. If that's something that you need, it'll make a widget that you can resize on your home screen. And it'll just give you those suggestions and anything that you make. You could have a single dashboard showing you your upcoming flights, hotel bookings, countdowns to trips. Like it can do all of this, pull information from Gmail and your calendar, but basically just describe the type of widget. And I don't know how well this is going to be, like how niche can you get with your widget? But yeah, you describe the widget that you want and it makes one for you. And I think that's awesome. Like I want that on my phone.
I think this is a great example of how what is basically just what would be considered vibe coding is actually being built into the platform in a way that is actually very useful. And you don't really think of it as building an app or an individual piece of software, but that is effectively what is taking place. And this is the perfect way to implement that. It's a very small feature, but I feel like it would be very useful. And I know that on the iPhone, there have been many times when I think, oh, I don't like the widget that is provided by this first-party app, and I wish that this was slightly different, or it would show this additional piece of information. And you can now do that on Android. I mean, surely Apple is going to do something like this eventually.
I hope so. You can roll your eyes all you want, but I'm making a widget that only shows me the days in which it is good to golf outside. Like I want to see the weather, and I only want the weather to know what days I can go out. That's all I need. I don't need to see the rest of the days. I don't care about them. Just want to know. Like that's the type of stuff that I think is cool and useful because you can't just ask the developer to make you a widget like that. They're not going to do that. So, and then now how does that impact developers is what I would like to know. Do they just stop making widgets if this becomes a mainstream thing across all platforms? Are they just like make your own then at this point? Why should I even bother?
Well, what is the most important thing is having the access to the information from those apps, which is clearly the direction that we're headed in now. So for Apple, this is App Intents, which are already surfaced across the ecosystem, whether you look in Apple Shortcuts, whether you look at Spotlight, on all devices now. It's very well integrated on the Mac with the more advanced version of Spotlight, but you can also access App Intents directly from the iPhone. Siri can access them. And this is sort of the way that the next generation version of Siri is supposed to work and integrate with apps. And the more of those App Intents that third-party developers expose, the more that the system can plug into those different aspects, because that's really all they are. It exposes different pieces of information. It allows a system to transfer data back and forth with that third-party app.
Yeah, there's a lot here, and it'll be interesting to see what happens. Real quick, I do want to touch on a new hardware piece that Google introduced before we move on. But before we do all of that, let's take a quick minute to hear from today's sponsor. When we started building out Mac Rumors content beyond just articles and, you know, really leaned into YouTube and podcasts and all of the stuff that we do now, there were definitely moments where it felt overwhelming. You suddenly realize how many moving parts there are when you're trying to build something new. Branding, merch, storefronts, customer support, marketing, it all adds up fast. And honestly, having a platform that simplifies all of that would have saved a ton of stress early on. That's why Shopify makes so much sense for so many businesses today. Shopify is the commerce platform behind millions of businesses around the world and 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S., from massive brands to businesses that are just getting started. They give you hundreds of ready-to-use templates so you can build a beautiful online store that actually matches your brand style, and Shopify's AI tools can help generate product descriptions, headlines, and even improve your product photography. They also make marketing super easy with built-in email and social media campaign tools, plus everything from inventory management to payments to analytics. It's all in one place. And if you ever get stuck, Shopify has an award-winning 24/7 customer support ready to help. So start your business today with the industry's best business partner, Shopify. And start hearing. Sign up for your $1 per month trial today at shopify.com/mac. Go to shopify.com/mac. That's shopify.com/mac. Thanks, Shopify, for sponsoring this episode.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
All right, so Google also introduced a new, basically, laptop, a Google Book, which I was excited for until I realized that it's not first-party hardware. They are not making this. It is basically, they say it's not a rebranded Chromebook, but to me, it seems like a higher-end AI advanced rebranded Chromebook because it's other manufacturers that are going to be making it. And the only way you'll know that it's a Google Chromebook is by seeing that bar on top. I'm sorry, did I say Google Chromebook? I mean Google Book. But guess what? What was the only way we knew that they were Chromebooks besides the half-baked UI that you got? There was a little strip on top of most of these machines that indicated it was some sort of Chrome. So you can lie to me all you want, Google, but this is a Chromebook with AI built in. But I do like the idea of it. And one of the cool features that they showcase is that, you know, they said the pointer is something that we're never going to get rid of. It seems it is just too valuable in the way we use any kind of laptop. And so they understand that. So there is a pointer, but there's a magic pointer. So the cursor, if you like kind of wiggle it around, comes to life and brings you Gemini features and AI features kind of at your fingertips that you can start to use. So it gives you contextual suggestions based on what's like on your screen and what it's looking at. And I think one of the things they did was able to like combine different photos pretty easily. Things that would take a lot of time and applications that you would need just can be done via AI and, you know, shaking your pointer around and then drag and dropping things. And that's really useful. I don't know that I'm going to go out and just replace my MacBook with a Google Book, but I kind of want some of these features.
I think that there was one feature in this selection that was a direct copy of an Apple feature, which is the ability to control a nearby Android phone.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, that is directly lifting from iPhone mirroring on the Mac.
Yeah.
But I do think it is very interesting that we are now seeing major platforms try to sort of debut a new paradigm for direct interaction with AI in ways that feel quite seamless. It's interesting to use the cursor as the basis of this interaction. Now, whether this will stick around, I don't know. But eventually, we are going to learn gestures, and there will be sort of standards that become quite settled and apparent over the years, where it makes sense to have that AI integration. Because right now, the best AI experiences you can really have are where you manually go and drop information into a chatbot. There's a lot of control C and control V going on, dragging files in from the desktop. And there's a lot of interaction that you still need to have. Those barriers are slowly being broken down. And that is sort of what what Google is trying to do with this magic pointer feature. If the device is aware of what is on the screen at all times, it has that contextual awareness to be able to provide slightly more useful suggestions. I would just be very interested to see how this actually works in practice, because it's all very well at working seamlessly in a demo, but sometimes these things can be a little bit different in a real world scenario. Is it going to be providing me with suggestions for something that is totally unrelated to the task that I'm actually trying to get done?
Yeah, and I'm also curious what this is going to cost. I don't know that we saw anything like that. I mean, it's going to be kind of, I'm guessing, you know, they say it's not a Chromebook, but I feel like it's going to be very much following the Chromebook suit. You're going to have a lot of really cheap options and you're going to have the more premium ones. So Acer, Asus, Dell, HP, and Lenovo, pretty much all of the people that made Chromebooks are going to be doing these and should be arriving later this fall. I remember the Dell ones always being kind of the more, actually, I think every single one of them had like a more upscale option, but I miss the Pixelbook. Those were actually pretty decent Chromebooks. They had good hardware. They were well designed. They looked premium and felt premium. At the end of the day, it was a Chromebook, so you can only do so much. And this is pretty much the same deal, but with more advanced AI tasks. So I don't know what the RAM and situation is going to be like that. Like, what can you actually do aside from, you know, browser-based stuff? Is this basically another browser-based OS? Or can you actually do some real stuff on here, you know, get some real work done, download some Windows applications, I'm guessing, since there's a lot of Windows.
But I don't know that it's meant for that, because the Chromebook found its own niche. And I imagine that eventually, if these features really take off, it won't be so long before we start seeing very similar things on Windows devices and ultimately the Mac.
Yeah, this is an enterprise thing. It's like a proof of concept enterprise thing, and then somehow Google's going to license this out to Windows, and maybe macOS would be able to adopt this in some way, shape, or form. I feel like this all just could have been built into like Chrome. Make it Chrome. I don't know. And then everybody can
Google
do it.
Google did announce new features for Chrome specifically.
Sure. Those real quick if you want to.
Like Chrome on Android, having more contextual awareness from Gmail, Google Calendar, things like that, summarizing stuff. Like that is actually pretty similar to what we've seen Apple implement on Safari. So I don't know that it's enormously interesting.
Apple doesn't really have a like agentic browsing layer though. So that would be something that I would like to see hopefully happen. I'm in this weird cross platform, like, I don't know, purgatory, where I use Chrome and Safari for very different things. But I mostly use Safari because it's tied in with my phone and having those tabs be open, like the, you know, just the ecosystem stuff. But I want to use Chrome for everything and I just don't. So I need I need Apple to get it together and make it like Google Chrome. That's what I need. Because it's still
We are hearing rumors of Safari improvements.
Well, good. I cannot wait for those. All right. One last Google thing, which is the next part of our episode. We're going to jump into another announcement, which was the unveiling of the Fitbit Air. And that is basically a Whoop, but it's only $99. And I don't remember what the monthly cost is. There's still a monthly cost for this, correct?
No, there is no monthly cost.
Oh, there is no monthly cost.
This is why if I was on the board of
Whoop, I would be
pretty concerned, because this is incredibly inexpensive for what you get. And I think it looks better. I even think the design is better.
There is a monthly cost, but it's not like you can buy it for $99. And it doesn't require for basic tracking, but if you want the Google Health Premium, you need $9.99 a month.
Yes, but just the app. So that's if you want like AI suggestions based on that health data.
Yeah.
But for example, if you're in the Apple ecosystem, you can still use this as an alternative to your Apple Watch, and it will sync with Apple Health through Google Health. So this is a really compelling offering at this price point. I was pretty amazed by this device because it feels like the sort of thing that I have wanted for a while when I want to wear one of my mechanical watches, but I still want to be able to track my health data. And this does track quite a lot, not quite as much as an Apple Watch, but you get heart rate sensing, atrial fibrillation alerts, HRV, blood oxygen, and it will do sleep tracking as well. And I think it also tracks workouts. So that is quite a lot for a $99 device that has no subscription to access those features, whereas the Whoop actually does require that. You can't really continue using that. The whole model of Whoop is to extract a fairly costly monthly fee. But it's just smaller. It's narrower. I think the band selections are really nice. It looks very premium. I think this is going to be an incredibly popular product, and it's cheap enough as well. I mean, it does raise the question, if you don't have any kind of smartwatch or fitness tracker type device, would you maybe encourage that person to get an Apple Watch SE instead, considering that that's a little over double the price? I mean, what is an Apple Watch SE now? I think it's about $250, something like that, which is 2.5 Fitbit Airs. But
yeah,
if you don't have one, that may still be a more appealing option because it has a screen. The whole point of the Fitbit Air is that there is no screen. It's supposed to be a background device, something you don't think about, which itself has its own appeal. When sometimes the Apple Watch I can find a little bit frustrating because I do feel a little bit switched on with it. I've disabled a lot of notifications, but there's still the temptation to go in there and take a look at my activity rings and apps and different notifications. Whereas with the Fitbit Air, you don't have that option. It's singularly just for health and fitness tracking.
So I used a Whoop for months. I forget why I stopped. There was a reason why I took it off, and then I just put it away and never put it back on. But I do really like the idea of having that because I can wear it to bed. I do not like wearing my watch to bed. It is a great way to get tracking pretty much all the time. It lasts forever in terms of battery life. Not forever, but it lasts a long time. And it's a great alternative. Like you said, if you want to wear a real watch, you can, and you can still get your data and it syncs across. I liked it. The app is really good. There's a lot of stuff. Really expensive. And I got a 1 year, so Whoop sent it to us, you know, full disclosure. I have no reason to say anything good or bad about them. It's just all my opinion. But and I got the Life, which is the $359 a year like tier, which is wild. And I will not be paying $359 next year because they gave me 1 year. You're basically paying $359 a year forever. It does not work without this. So Google basically just squashed them. Like, if this is any good, because the Whoop is a really good product. It's good hardware and it's good software. If it's anywhere nearly as good, $99 gets you what you need. And then if you want all the extra AI stuff, if you need it, then you can pay $9.99 a month wherever but it works without. So you can always sell it. You cannot sell your Whoop unless someone's going to plan to like use it and get the tier that, you know, you have. It's just like, I don't know. This is squashing pretty much everything that they've been doing. Yeah, they should.
It's really good.
I picked up one, so I can't wait to try it out and kind of report back. I do wish that these, when they tie in Apple Health, I know Apple won't do that because then it would kind of kill the purpose of a watch, but like the activity rings would, you know, if you did your activity.
I do think it does integrate with those, because if you record workout data from another device, it will move your workout ring. And likewise, you can move your move ring just from your iPhone. You don't even need an Apple Watch. That's just calories. So I don't know that it's consistent. It doesn't work as well as it does directly from an Apple Watch, but it does integrate.
And I've seen that, and I want to say, you know, that sounds right, but like, I have a Garmin watch that I use for golf. So when I go out and play, I'm definitely getting 10,000 plus steps. I do not see that relate back to my Apple Watch when I put that on after a round. And it's all synced up and should be sharing that info.
Well, I don't know that it will show on the Apple Watch, but it will show in the health app, which in theory should update your rings. I think it might just be stuff like stand hours. It won't show. But when it comes to just recording like active calories burned or workout minutes, that stuff should sync over.
So I'm going to see here, because you're right. It does show in the health app. I know that for a fact. But I don't think it shows an activity or pair with your watch then, like, and tell you, hey, this is where you were at, which is kind of a bummer because that's kind of where I want to see, you know, the rings is like the whole point to me. No, let's try this day here. I know I went out that day. Yeah, so not even close. No steps. Nothing. So I don't know why it doesn't pair to the fitness app. But like, that's the kind of stuff that I wish it did, or it's supposed to do well. But at least it's in your health app. So I mean, you kind of can see that still.
I mean, you're still gathering the data. If you want to check your your sleep information, that will still be visible in the sleep widget, things like that. So I think I am definitely going to pick one of these up. It is one of these rare products that is not an Apple device that pretty much feels like an instant buy to me.
Yeah, I'd be interested. I would love to see Apple what you think.
Do something like this.
That won't happen. Apple barely updates the Apple Watch, which, good segue. We can bring us into the final topic, and that is the Apple Watch Series 12.
Capital One's tech team isn't just talking about multi-agentic AI. They already deployed one. It's called Chat Concierge, and it's simplifying car shopping. Using self-reflection and layered reasoning with live API checks, it doesn't just help buyers find a car they love. It helps schedule a test drive, get pre-approved for financing, and estimate trade-in value. Advanced, intuitive, and deployed. That's how they stack. That's technology at Capital One.
And, you know, no major redesign expected. Stop me if you've heard that before.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, last 3 to 4 years, it's been pretty much, I mean, we've had some changes, but I don't know, a full overhaul, reportedly not until 2027 at the earliest, which I'm not holding my breath for that.
No, it looks like pretty much everything that was rumored at one time for the Series 12 has sort of faded away now. Most recently, we've heard that it probably is not going to get Touch ID. For a while, we were expecting it to have Touch ID. There was evidence of Apple testing Touch ID in Apple's backend code, specifically for the Apple Watch. But apparently, that is no more, which I also make sense because I don't know how useful that is on an Apple Watch, given that...
I was wondering that too.
You know, when you put your watch on in the morning, you put your passcode in, you do it once a day, fine. But I don't know that that is a particular reason to upgrade when Apple is apparently trying to focus on battery life for the Apple Watch more than anything, which I do think it needs. The battery life does feel like one of the weaker aspects of the device. But there's not a whole lot else to talk about with the Apple Watch Series 12. I mean, it's definitely due to get a chip upgrade because last year was the first year when there was no chip upgrade across the whole lineup. We now have the same S10 chip across all three types of Apple Watch, but that was there the year before. It debuted with the Series 10. That's why it's the S10, but the S11 still has the S10. So hopefully now the Series 12 will get an S11 that will be able to deliver some efficiency improvements. It's always good to see improvements to particular things like the accelerometer when that is so important for fitness tracking and all of that stuff is integrated into that chip. But it's nothing to write home about. One possibility is maybe getting emergency SOS via satellite on the Series 12. It debuted on the Apple Watch Ultra 3, but we have not seen it come to the other Apple Watch yet. That makes sense, but I don't really believe that these other rumors about getting a front-facing camera for Face ID or anything like that, it just seems too far out there.
What do you think the odds of blood pressure monitoring? Because that's kind of been reported as low. It's still on the table, but like Gurman says no. Why?
I mean, Gurman.
Why is this? What is this? What's taking so long? We have other watches that can do this.
Well, apparently Apple's prototype going back about, I think it was about a year ago, was too large and they couldn't miniaturize it enough to get it into the watch, or what they could miniaturize wasn't reliable enough. So that may well still be another year or two away. And it is interesting, really, because I remember talking to you about the Apple Watch maybe about 2 years ago, and it seemed like there was so much in the pipeline with a redesign, with magnetic watch bands, with biometric authentication, with new display technology as well was rumored, with an Apple custom display, which has now been shelved. And then there were, of course, the wave of health features, which included everything from blood glucose monitoring to blood pressure and even things like blood alcohol monitoring. But no more. And I don't really know what's going on with the Apple Watch. I don't understand why Apple is pushing out hardware updates to this device every year when it is not a subscription-based device, it's not a device that you pay a monthly plan for as part of a contract where you expect an upgrade. And what they are delivering is fairly small. You know, if you skip two generations of iPhone, that is a big upgrade. If you skip two generations of Apple Watch, there will be a negligible difference. Right. I don't know how many generations of Apple Watch you would have to skip before you would really start to feel it. I feel like you would really only feel it if you went from a Series 6 to a Series 10 or something like that. You'd have to go a four-year span, which, I mean, even the iPad, I feel like you would feel more of a difference than that.
My wife just did that, 6 to 10. I don't know that she notices any difference, I'm going to be honest with you. Maybe the fact that hers works better than the last one.
Yeah, I mean, you may notice better battery life because the battery is not so degraded. If you get that slightly newer design with a more square display or a slightly larger display, that's cool.
I don't know that she recognized it.
You're not going to... I don't know that a lot of the features like body temperature monitoring that we've got or sleep apnea detection... is terribly exciting. And it's a shame because I remember when the Apple Watch Series 4 came out and then the Series 5, and the Series 4 had ECG monitoring and the Series 5 had always on display. Both of those things felt quite huge and really did change the capabilities of the device. One in terms of health, and now it is so reassuring to know that if you do have concern about anything to do with your cardiovascular health or you have chest pain, you can go right in there and take an ECG right away and give that to your doctor. That is, that's huge, really, to be able to do that for something that previously you would have needed to go to a hospital to be able to complete. And always on display, where does that make more sense? But on a wristwatch where you may glance at that at an angle at any time. But where have we gone since there?
Yeah,
kind of nowhere?
It is kind of hard to do a bunch of major changes unless you're like constantly putting in these crazy advancements in health, into a watch, which is hard to do. I understand. Although I feel like Samsung's been doing it every year. There's like always a new feature that they keep adding. I don't know if they're any good, but like, you know, they do it. They give you a reading. They do something. And Apple just kind of the last few years has just been like, oh, well, you know, it's got stuff. It's the same, basically. And we're still putting it out there. But like, I mean, what else can you really do besides change the design, make it circle?
It's
Let's
got
get
to
back
be the health
that.
Features.
Yeah.
It I has mean, to it. Be the health features. And they've been working on so many of these for such a long time. And I do feel like it would be better to not keep pushing out these upgrades, because I don't mean to sound overly pessimistic about the Apple Watch. I do love the Apple Watch.
No, it's
I wear
a great
mine
product,
every day.
Great product.
Yeah. And it is still the best smartwatch that you can buy, and it always has been. But that being said, there is something sort of demoralizing, I feel like, in the tech community about the state of the Apple Watch, that every year we get this upgrade, and every tech reviewer is just like, oh yeah, we got a new Apple Watch, and on to the next thing, because it's not exciting anymore.
There's just nothing exciting.
It feels like a little bit of a peculiar marketing choice to every year be saying, this is the major new Apple Watch series. And yet there is very little to show for that. When other products, say when there's a new iPad Air, the new iPad Air we just got, that's just a chip update. And Apple didn't overdo that. I feel like it was a relatively proportionate debut for what they didn't say that changed everything. But then Apple comes out with the Apple Watch Series 11 and says, this changes everything. It's got 10% stronger front crystal. The whole device is different and everyone should upgrade.
Here's the thing.
Not worth it.
We're just really spoiled with Apple, because every product, at least one in every lineup, is really good. Like best in class. And so the problem is, we're so spoiled that every product is really good that they cannot introduce a ton of new features, because then you have a risk of it becoming not so good. You know, they take their times. Everything's already, like with a Mac, you know, you're getting the chip upgrades year over year. The chip was already really good, so no one's going to notice huge differences. They're just keeping it in line and getting it refreshed to refresh it. So we're just spoiled by how good everything is, and that there's no major new flashy features every year. And a lot of these other companies are doing that because they have to keep up. because maybe the rest of the product isn't so good. I don't know. I just feel like we're spoiled.
I agree. And we are spoiled. And the Apple Watch, as I say, is very good. But I don't think that we should accept that it can't get better.
No, it can, but...
There is a lot of hardware that could be improved upon, such as the battery life. We have seen basically no battery life improvement until the last generation. And functionally, that was just playing with the numbers. That was not really... Yes, it was a tiny bit of a bigger battery, but it did not really add hours of battery life. That was a change in how those numbers were being presented. It was a calculation difference. And I'm
curious how everybody's battery
of,
life is. Because I can get through with, I wear the Series 11. I can get through a day
I mean,
and a half.
I have a Series 8 and I still can get through a day with that. But yeah. I would like to be able to get through 2 days with it and not think about charging.
Gotcha.
I also feel like the software has a long way to go. And it has felt like since we got WatchOS 10, where we got the redesigned app navigation and redesigned first-party apps, that there has been a little bit of a neglect of WatchOS. New watch faces are not exciting anymore. It feels like it's been years since anything has happened interesting with watch faces, other than maybe a couple of the Apple Watch Ultra exclusive ones.
Watch faces are bad.
More options for those, better complication and widget options. I also still feel like app navigation is quite weak, and it feels like the watch is so overstuffed with apps for different things. Like the clock app is what on the iPhone is split off into four different apps on the Apple Watch, which you have to scroll through. And every function is split into its own individual app, which just increases the size of this list. That means by the time I go to actually want to do anything, I've lost my patience.
Apple needs to take the Create My Widget AI feature that Google did and make it for the Apple Watch with Create My Watch Face. You might have to use the phone to do it, but tell it exactly what kind of watch face you want and what kind of complications you need from those apps. Maybe it creates its own complication if it doesn't exist. Like, how useful would that be? Because watch faces are really bad on Apple compared to like what else you can get. You know, there's like so many good third-party options.
I feel like Apple started in a way better place with watch faces, actually.
Yeah.
I feel like when the Apple Watch first debuted, the watch faces felt very deliberately designed. There were a lot of takes on classic mechanical watches. And the way the complications were designed was to be complementary to those watch faces rather than like a widget. So they were designed differently to be more minimal and to sort of fade into the look of those respective watch faces. That is long gone now. And I think that it would be nice to see some more tributes to real world watch faces. Like, you know that this year they're going to show some watch face. It's going to be some artist design that shows, I don't know, just basic colors and a basic reinterpreted digital watch face, and that will be it.
Yeah.
I don't really want that. I want something that actually looks like either an interesting analog or digital watch face with good customization options. Not just giving me a full color background. That is not real customization. And better suggestions and definitely better app navigation. You know, apps were supposed to be the big thing when the Apple Watch debuted. There was the WatchOS app store, and this was a big deal. And there are some good Apple Watch apps, but not very many. And I don't know if the platform needs to be reconsidered a little bit in terms of how we access content. The Smart Stack was a good start, but I feel like we could go further. And definitely, we do need to start getting useful Apple Intelligence features on the watch. I mean, I've said this before, but I think it's pretty inexcusable that 2 years ago, we got ChatGPT via Siri, and that was only on the iPhone and the iPad. But it's not on the HomePod, and it is not on the Apple Watch, even though that is a web-based feature. There is no reason why those devices can't do that.
Well, Hartley, it doesn't matter what we want exactly. I mean, a little bit. We're part of it, but we're the vocal, you know, minority. We need to see what the rest of you guys would want. So this would be a great time to drop some comments and see what would you do to fix the Apple Watch. Well, those are going to happen no matter what. Everyone thinks we're so negative. We just care a lot. We told you this many times. But let us know what you guys want with, you know, Apple's implementation of AI, if it ever happens. And and what we get with, you know, Apple Health and features on the watch, because those are important. I know a lot of you probably all wear an Apple Watch. Would love to hear how you use it and what you could see be done better. Let us know in the comments. Hit us up on all the other platforms, and we will catch everybody in next week's episode.